the shore where the mountains meet the sea, in a clapboard shack by a broken down tree. There's a light in the window, two salty gals inside. I'm not sure if they're witches, but you know that's implied. Got the storytelling, ego swelling, pillow talking, moonlight walking, sea hags.
Podcast. I'm Chris Jeffa.
And I'm Katie Norgren. And with us this week is a fabulous, funky butt lover.
That's a great way to introduce somebody.
Well, you know.
I'll take it.
A hilarious stand-up comedian.
No, that's not the most important thing about him.
Yeah, I am first and foremost a butt lover. And, secondarily, a Canadian human comedian.
Yes.
I think that's how that
goes. Well, I'm pretty sure you identified yourself as a bum. Oh, no, it was bum lover.
A bored, sweaty bum lover is what I called myself online earlier this week.
Yeah, so, you know, this is not really me editorializing.
Not at all, no.
It's a slight edit.
It shows you've done your research, and I appreciate that.
It's true. I have. Steve is a fabulous, fabulous comedian. You've won several contests, if I'm not mistaken.
A couple contests that were both bringers, though. So there's always that asterisk of, like, I had more friends in the room than anyone.
Well, but... so you're also very popular, is what you're telling me.
Well, I'm not saying I'm not talented. I'm just saying I'm also very popular. Yeah.
This is what I figured. Okay, so this is my impression of you the entire time I've known you.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, my gosh.
Excellent. So you're very popular and you're very funny and everything's going just great for you.
Yeah. I'm super well adjusted and happy, and which is why I'm having trouble writing jokes lately.
Oh, yeah. That is. It doesn't really make for great material.
I think that quote is actually Rita Rudner.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually think I saw her on a very recent televised thing, and she looks exactly the same as she did in 1988,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of a trip.
Yeah, like, I don't know.
Damn.
I'm always wary of people who, like, don't, like, they age super well and it's clearly not from surgery. Because mm-hmm. I have a relative who's like that, and it's clearly just because they've never felt an ounce of guilt in their entire life.
Oh, is that why my face is, like, crumpling
that's
so
why,
quickly?
That's why I'm aging in fucking dog years, because I'm so stressed out all the time, whereas, like, sociopath don't crack, you know? Like,
yeah.
If you're never stressed out about anything, you age very well. That's what
I mean, I wouldn't say that I'm not stressed out about stuff, but I don't feel guilt really about anything ever. So, like, I think I'm going to be good. I thought it was just because I'm chubby.
I see nary a wrinkle on your face.
I know,
so there might
yeah.
be something to it.
I think it's just chubby filler.
God, your fucking forehead is smooth as... I was almost said balls, but balls aren't smooth.
No, they're very wrinkly. I'd be very sad. That would look like a Klingon forehead if I looked at it.
I'm getting them full Klingon furrows.
Yeah.
I'm so used to going into battle.
I've got some pretty deep creases. And, like, I would never... I would
You've
never,
got a deep crease.
I've got some deep, wide creases. No, come on now. But, I did, like, as far as, like, forehead stuff goes, and, like, I'm not... There's a certain turning point. I'm anti-fillers for sure, but as far as, like, Botox itself goes...
That's not cheating.
I might fuck with it once and see how I feel,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Freezing ain't cheating.
Yeah, you know? Like, it is injecting botulism into your face, but...
I feel like with that risk comes... It's okay.
And the thing is, like, it's... It, like, you don't have to have anything dissolved, right? After X amount of time, it just kind of wears off.
Right, yeah.
So I have had friends who have, like, overdone it and had, like, a wonky brow or, like, a frozen eye for a few weeks, and nobody wants that. But I just wanted to deal with this sort of railroad up top above my brows.
But I guess, like, I always think about this with people that are, like, expressive for a living, right? Like, you're a performer, so, yeah. like, what if it freezes a lot of your range of, like,
it'll just force you to try out some deadpan stuff, I guess.
Yeah. Wearing glasses does help quite a bit.
It does.
Yeah.
It
undoes my overly expressive face a little bit. That's partly why I like to still wear them when I don't need them.
Oh, you have LASIK and you wear glasses?
Yeah, well, I also got LASIK before my eyes stopped changing, so I do kind of need them to read, but I don't need them for day-to-day.
Yeah.
I'm not wearing them now, but when I don't, it's very obvious just how much my face constantly changes, and I open my eyes wider than anybody else in the universe, and I can't stop myself. I just do it that way, and people are like, are you okay?
Yeah, well, there
like,
was...
almost certainly not, but...
All of those great photos from Stand Up and Deliver at Seven Dining Lounge that Joan Ulia takes of everyone in front of that wooden background, and everyone looks so great, and I always just... browse against my hairline every single time.
Oh, yeah.
Like I always am holding the microphone like I'm about to eat it or suck it off.
Yeah.
I'm like, I love you, Joan, but can we please, like, anytime I was on stage, I would just, like, pause for a few seconds and be like, please take my fucking photo while I'm still.
Yeah. Never worked. No, okay. I had to step in for Joan once and take some photos. This was, like, before I really even knew anybody in comedy, and I tried to take pictures of you, and it did not go well. You're too animated.
Yeah, it's true.
You're too lively.
Too lively.
You cannot be
too
captured. Too vibrant,
you know?
Too...
Too popular. Too alive. Too well-adjusted. I'm too a lot of things.
I like that now, like, you can make a profile picture on social media to be, like, an animated thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so,
oh, gosh. I've seen it.
I'm not super well-captured in photos either. I'm much more, like, yeah, animated. It's like,
c'est
yeah.
dynamique.
Just take like, a little clip of me, like, doing something, and then I look cute as hell.
Yeah, I only look good in still photos, so it's, like, the opposite problem everybody else is having. It's just give me a moment to pose.
On Instagram, there's this one filter called Brannon that makes everyone look like a corpse, but I'm so naturally rosé that it makes me look like a normal human.
Okay.
So it's, like, the perfect filter for me, but only if, like, no one else is in the shot.
Yes.
You know? Because they legitimately look dead.
Well, then it's actually a pretty sweet pick, because it just makes you look so much
exactly.
better, right?
I'm always the star with the Brannon filter.
Brannon. That's just, like, it sounds like a really obnoxious rich kid who, totally. Like, just plowed his SUV into
Brannon,
your car.
Yeah.
And is like... What?
Yeah, he hates his fag brother, Skylar. You know what I mean?
Brannon and Skylar.
Brannon and Skylar.
Have you seen... are you an SNL watcher at all?
Yes. I didn't see it last night, though.
No, I am not talking about last night. So I think this is from last year. It's Julio Torres wrote this. It was one of the false, like, the fake advertisements.
Yeah.
And it was... The sketch is called Wells for Boys.
It's
like Fisher Price, Wells for Boys. It's just like a wishing well. It's like when he just needs to contemplate his reflection. Right? It's like for sensitive boys.
No, I haven't seen this.
It's one of the cutest things I've ever seen, because it's like just about this sort of fey, beautiful boy who can't play with regular boys. And
yeah.
He just like, for when things get to be too much.
Oh, I love it. I'm going to look it up.
And then this little, and the kid's name is, I think, Skylar, which is why he made me think of it. It's like, hey, Skylar. No, Spencer. Hey, Spencer. 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 Yes, mommy.
That's
it's
great.
It's like, I don't get this. Why do you, it isn't for you. Some little kids, just some kids are well-adjusted and get along with their peers. Others are just sort of sitting around waiting for adulthood to happen.
Yeah, pretty much. Yep. You've been there.
One day they'll have a rich, fulfilling creative life, but not yet.
Yeah. Poor thing.
It's a beautiful thing, but it's you know, written by a fey gay boy from from not the Dominican Republic. That's terrible. Ecuador. I'm trying
so
to remember.
I just heard recently that this season, like, Chris Kelly and another, like, the head writers of SNL left because they're doing a show elsewhere now, and that's why it's sort of like a bit of the gay influence in the show is, I guess, fading now.
Oh no.
I know, because like a couple years there, it was fucking fantastic. They've still been really good this year, though. I love SNL. Like, everyone always talks about, like, heydays and whatever, but it's kind of like loving a sports team. Like, you have to go through rebuilding phases to really get to, like, enjoy the glory moments.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I'm a big supporter for sure.
It's definitely very easy to be critical of it, but it's also so fundamental to everything I know about humor.
Yeah. Mm. And like, it's an hour and a half a week.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah,
that's...
if you think about sitting down and, like, creating that every week from scratch,
of course
every
some
time,
of it's gonna,
like,
be shit.
Yeah. And like a lot of us have been, like, telling the same 5 to 10 minutes worth of jokes for 2 years, you know, like to crank out that amount of shit is absolutely mind-boggling.
Mm-hmm. It takes a lot of courage to just put something out there if it's not perfect.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
I would rather just not do anything ever.
Yeah, yeah, me too, yeah. Rather just go
so
wish
productive.
Into my fountain.
No. Can wish in one half of your fountain and crap in the other.
Oh, no.
See which one gets filled first, basically. Yeah. Yeah, you have to actually do things. It's stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're complimenting me on my smooth forehead.
Yes.
I've been dabbling in hyaluronic acid.
Have you now?
Like that as a skin treatment?
Yeah.
How does one apply hyaluronic acid? It sounds very scary.
I know. So, like, I don't know. I follow Nicole Cliff on Twitter, and she's, like, a skincare fanatic, and there's all these, like, different brands of, like, amazing different acids that you're supposed to use and blah, blah, blah. And so I was researching all of them, and I'm like, well, I don't really want to, like, go for those ones where it's like it peels a layer off your face every day, and it's
right.
like that seems like a lot. But I managed to find something that's just like a night cream, and I'm like, you know what? I'm 33 now. I can start using a night cream.
I'm using night cream.
Working on
I love
night cream.
I got
got some night cream. I'm not gonna never get enough. It's got like pomegranate and lavender in it. It smells really good, and it does make my face like tingle a little as I fall asleep. But it almost feels like you put on Icy Hot, and then you just like it really like it puts me to sleep. It's Garnier.
Garnier.
Ooh la la.
And but so yeah, putting that on every night, and now suddenly I feel dewy like a Russian aristocrat.
That's a New Year's resolution that I break every single year. I'm such a like old straight guy, and that my beauty regimen, I literally like I wash with, you know, mild body wash or whatever, and then I just rinse my face with water. I've never like used anything, which I think partially contributes to this forehead situation. But every single year I'm like, I'm gonna start a routine, and then I never stick to it ever.
I realized a lot. So my New Year's resolutions, I didn't have like a lot, but I did want to start like a good morning routine to like sort of reclaim some of that time before I go to work.
Right.
And just be like, this is my day. I take control of it, you know, like set things on the right foot. So it's like, get up, fucking take your vitamins, eat some breakfast, wash your face. Yeah. Like, those are basically the things that I do, but normally I wouldn't have time to do any of that. And I found that also, like, I haven't been, like, drinking heavily, and so then when I wake up, I actually wake up and want to do things in the morning.
There's something really, really great about
turns out
not doing the whole, like, snooze button dance in the morning. Like, it's pretty rare for me. I'm late to bed and late to rise always. It's just how I've always been.
You just go by the body clock.
The few days when you just have that, like, there have been a couple times recently where I woke up at like 6:30 or whatever and thought, fuck it, I'll go to the gym before work. And it's like, I'm patting myself on the back for weeks after doing it once.
Yeah, you can live off that for a while.
Yeah, you can ride that wave for a while.
Oh, yeah. That's, God, I've never gone before 10 a.m. to the gym, ever.
Yeah.
I'm trying to.
I do go regularly. I just don't go in the morning.
Yeah.
There's a place nearby that does have yoga classes at, like, 7 and 8, so I could totally go to either of those if I wanted to. I'd probably feel really good.
It's hard to do.
It's so hard, guys. I don't know how to do anything.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just felt nice, though, having, like, my morning routine, and so then I'm just like, it looks like I look more awake because of actually taking care of my body and stuff just for this 1 week. We'll see if I can keep it up. We'll check in next week and see if I'm still riding that train. But I found like the only way to kind of keep myself like on the routine path is to start feeling kind of self-righteous about it. Do you feel
this? Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
You have to feel better than other people.
Yeah, but it has to, like, it's a struggle. Like, you want to keep it internal because, like, this city is so just teeming with people giving unsolicited health and nutrition advice, and I fucking hate them, and I never, ever want to be one of those people. But in order to sort of, like, keep momentum, you do have to pat yourself on the back a little bit. And I'm in the same boat. For New Year's, like, I have a few resolutions, but the biggest one, I want to see if I can go 90 days without booze, which is quite ambitious, and I'm doing so, like, cautiously optimistic and knowing that there's a very high probability I won't make it all the way to day 90, but see what I can do.
You've already started this thing?
Yeah, I'm so on day 14. I started, and I'm, like, I'm a pretty, I wouldn't say heavy drinker, but I'm a regular
drinker. You're habitual drinker.
Yeah,
I love to have beer.
I love to have beer, I love cider, and it's sort of part of home life with my boyfriend Peter as well. Like, we both, you know, like a bottle of wine at night and that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, it's just like, I've become a very expensive date. Like, I'm, you know, anywhere in between
super high tolerance,
230 and 240. I come from Irish and Polish stock. Like, I can put a lot of liquor away.
Oh my God, you're our son.
Yeah, hey.
Our beautiful gay son.
It's all I've ever wanted.
But yeah, so it, like, even if I'm on my own, if I want to get a good serious buzz going, it's like, it's over $20 for me now, and that just doesn't seem worth it. Not like several times a week. So anyways, day 14 of 90, I'll check in with you and see how it's
going. You just reminded me that I have to put another goal in my bullet journal, so I'm going to do that while we're talking.
Excellent, do it.
Just made me think about, like, wanting to spend some time in sobriety, because I'm kind of bad at that.
Yeah.
Oh, no, sitting with feelings.
not a fan, thank you.
I don't think I've ever seen you buzzed once, Katie.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I have a lot of self-control, honestly. Oh, like, okay. I do get pretty buzzed at, like, I've been really drunk at your show before.
Oh, okay.
And then I was also really drunk the time that we both auditioned for the Winnipeg? Yeah, festival. But I wasn't really drunk till the end of that night.
I was pretty drunk when I went on stage that night and it showed.
Neither of us really felt like being there, I don't think.
Well, like, I was grateful for the invite, but prior to going, when they were like, okay, prepare your 5 to 7... most family-friendly minutes. And I was
like, I have literally no minutes.
I might have 2 minutes that are family-friendly, and it's not something I'm proud of. I don't want to be, like, known as a crass comedian or whatever, but right. It just sort of, yeah, when you have invites like that, it makes you take stock. Like, I need to up my family-friendly game this year. So do you know if anyone who got spots in Winnipeg?
Nobody's told me anything. Oh, okay. I haven't heard. I've been kind of, like, checked out of the whole scene. Like, I have a few bookings coming up, but without Seven Dining Lounge being around anymore, it kind of, like, that locus is gone from the community, and so I just feel, like, really out of touch. All I'm hearing are, like, the bad things that are happening.
Oh, well, yeah. I
think always plenty of that.
There's always a lot of that going on, yeah. Our open mic, Magic Mic open mic night at the Junction on Tuesdays, was the biggest we've had last year since now Seven is gone. We had like 40 comics.
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
The most we've had is 30. So it's tough for us too, because we only have the room until 11.
Right.
So if, yeah, there's always that thing with open mic nights. Like, you headliners and room runners get some sort of priority, but you also, like, don't want to bump these kids so they don't get any stage time.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
We might ask to see if we can have the room for later, or I'm not sure what we're going to do. This actually coming Tuesday, the day after tomorrow, or whatever it'll be when this airs.
This comes out on Tuesday, so.
Oh, okay, so today.
Yeah, tonight.
will be our 1 year anniversary show.
Woo!
So, Ollie's buying a sheet cake from Costco, because that's what people do.
Of course.
And I think Ivan Decker's gonna stop by and do some of his dirty material.
Oh,
which I'm really, really excited for.
Love it.
And I think, yeah, we should have a few other surprises as well. So, by all means, anytime, come to our open mic on Tuesdays, Katie.
Yeah. Okay. I like going there. I'm not hoity-toity, but I always get a little bit of special treatment. Just a little bit. I'm a room runner, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, well, I'm always, and like, also, oh, wait, like, I'm kind of legit.
And also, like, also a queer. You know what I mean? Like, well, fuck it. I'm not ashamed to admit that.
I prioritize.
And also, not just because it's, like, a room that I co-run, but also, like, it's a gay bar. You know what I mean? Like, so it's supposed to be a place where, you know, people who are queer identifying in whatever capacity should feel especially comfortable, so.
Yeah.
Pretty sick.
It's nice to get just a tiny bit of special treatment when you have to go so far to get anywhere to do stand-up. Yeah. It's now Gavin Clarkson lives in my neighborhood, past guest Gavin Clarkson, hopefully future guest as well. I love him.
Yeah.
I love him so. And my wife and I had dinner at their place last night.
Oh,
so
really?
We had a double date. It was cute. So cute. And they fed us like this beautiful, like, gorgeous beef ribs that had just, like, come off the bone in their instant pot with, like, parpadale, and it was so good. It was so good, and she made us white chocolate mousse, and
oh my goodness,
it's delicious. We had a really fun time. They're so fun to hang out with. I always forget that they're younger than we are, but, like, a fair bit.
How old is Gavin?
He's 28.
Oh, okay.
So he's 5 years younger than me.
Oh, okay, yeah, me too.
And so Sheena. But they've been together as long as Tessa and I have, like 10 years.
10 years?
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Peter and I just passed 5 in October.
Nice. Well, in gay years, that's like 15.
Yeah, it's so huge. It's super huge.
Yeah, in lesbian years, I'm like at 3 years, right, basically.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, so it feels significant.
Yeah,
you're at the 10, you're past the 10-year mark.
No, it'll be 10 this year.
It'll be 10 this year.
And how long, like, that's together total? How long have you been married? You're married,
5 years.
5 years.
Yeah, we got married in May of 2013.
Yeah. With Peter and I, it's like, it's not that we don't care. It's definitely a foregone conclusion, though. Like, we're definitely going to get married. It's just a matter of time. And it's like, we want to buy a house. We want this. We want that. And also, like, I don't think either of our parents have any money to put in on a wedding. And we're like, I'm not throwing a wedding unless it's open bar.
Yeah.
Like, I owe that to my friends. Yeah. And
do either elope or don't get married.
Totally.
If you can't do an open bar, that's how I feel.
I have a friend of a friend who had a potluck wedding. It's like, you know what your gift would be at my potluck wedding? The dish I brought a casserole in.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm bringing food, I'm not bringing you a gift.
Yeah, because that's how it offsets, right? It's like, you feed me and, like, booze me up, and then I'll bring you a present, or vice versa.
We had full-on, like, definitely a meal amount of food in canapes and things, and cupcakes, and we had an open bar for 85 people. And the whole thing with venue and everything was under $11,000. So,
amazing.
So for an open bar for them, we had a ton of beer left over. Like, I had 9 cases of like, Vancouver Island Brewing beer. It just like kept me in booze for the rest of the fucking year. It was great. I loved my
wedding. Can I ask what venue it was?
It was at the Metro Hall in New Westminster. So like a block and a half from my house. Awesome. And it was like a really beautiful venue. We didn't have to decorate it at all.
It's also sometimes a swingers club.
Sometimes, really? Sometimes it's a swingers club.
So is this the, because someone had recently told me that there Spanish is a sex club in New West.
There is a, like, there's a steam room in New West.
I know that. I haven't been, but I've heard.
I know that,
I know where all the bathhouses in Western Canada
like,
are.
Like, I know where you can go and touch a dick in a steamy place. Christ.
Take me for.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a more formal permanent sex club location, but I think that that's like for the you know, the 40 something swingers.
Right. Yeah. Sure, yeah.
In a big way. I definitely have known people who've gone to those parties and I'm like, "Do they wipe it down after?" Cuz yeah. I did have my wedding there and they're like, "I hope they didn't, honestly. I want those cum ghosts to be all over the party."
Yeah, you know, it's like a you just picture it like they have at the gym, like just with like paper towels and some spray bottles.
Yes.
So like,
yes.
Once you're finished on that apparatus, everybody, come on now, wipe down your surface.
You got to wipe down your
old lady first and then wipe down the surface you two are on. Chivalry and manners.
The people that go to swingers clubs probably do refer to their people as old man and old lady.
I call Peter my sweet, sweet old lady all the time.
Ah, and he loves it. That's very cute.
Is Peter a lot older than you, or?
Not a lot older. He's 8 years older than me.
That's not a lot.
No. We're May, August.
I was like, I was like, again, in gay years, that's no difference whatsoever.
No, not at all. No.
That's how it works. Yeah, no, I go, we've got 6 years, me and Tess. And you don't
Tess is younger?
I fucking hate you. You son of a bitch.
Just kidding.
People have said that so many times. She loves it. And I don't
people
care.
People do that
actually.
With my sister and I. My sister is a year and a half older than me. And people, like, we play in the same softball league. And people are like, "So you're older, right?" I'm like, she gets to wear makeup. And I've lived a little harder than she has.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah. Your sister's very beautiful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We were at a show together. And you guys had been at a wedding. And
that's
you
right.
all bounced in their formal wear. Showed up to the show and I was like, "Steve, your sister's hot." It's like, "Tell me something I don't know. Also, she's not gay. Good luck."
She was flattered nonetheless.
Yes, well. Shouldn't be that pretty if she doesn't want to be complimented.
Right? Look, if she doesn't want me staring at her, she shouldn't have her cans out. You know?
She really had her cans out. To be fair, they were out.
Yeah, they were hiked up wedding style. That's how she rolls.
Nice. Oh, yeah. He's like, "This is the celebration of the open bar."
Yeah.
It's just bounty.
Nice.
Yeah.
You balance a champagne glass on each of those.
Yes. Absolutely.
She's tasteful about it. Like, you hear about, like...
Let's talk about your sister's boobs somewhere.
Yeah, let's talk about my sister's rack. That's not weird at all. But just, usually she'll wear this, like... She has, like, a Peg Bundy leopard print dress, but it's, like, knee length... And it's like, I guess it's
tasteful leopard
yeah,
print.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Church you know print. How, like, people, there's the old thing about, like, you can show cleavage or legs or midriff or back or whatever,
yeah.
but,
yeah,
like,
just
no
pick
more,
one, yeah.
only one at a time. I know that that's, like, old antiquated thinking and people can dress however they like, mm-hmm. but when you see, like, I don't know, when you see it properly executed, it does look better.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I'm very much like, yeah, I either show off my legs or my boobs, one or the other. Generally speaking.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good, but I don't have very big boobs, so I can kind of get away with showing off both. Nobody's like, "Hey, now, too many assets. Pack those away, please."
Oh, gosh.
Nobody said that.
Now all I'm thinking of, I watched the new Pirates of the Caribbean movie on Netflix.
Why?
I don't know, because it was there. And sometimes I like a good romp through the Caribbean. I just really want to go to the Caribbean. And so I'm just like, let me just look at pretty scenery and. Yeah, the girl who was the main lead in that just had amazing boobs and a really good dress to show it off. So I was pretty happy. The movie was terrible, of course.
It looked very bad.
We watched one of the older Pirates of the Caribbean first and then this one to, like, fill in any plot gaps as if that makes a difference at all, which it didn't. Mm-hmm. But they actually wrote, you know, a story for the older one and this new one had, like, zero... plot. Like, they just jump from place to place. I'm like, did they forget to write bits?
Did they forget to write the script, period?
Or they, like, wrote it as, like, a group project, and, like, Kevin didn't show up, and they just, like, didn't put his stuff in.
Kevin.
It's always fucking Kevin.
Kevin and
shit.
Kyle.
Yeah.
Kyle.
He was smoking weed with Skylar.
Smoking pole
and
with
Brannon.
Skylar.
That was the other one.
Brannon.
Piece of shit. High school, there was this guy who... Like, I went to a high school in, like, a shitty area outside of Victoria called Langford.
I know Langford.
Yeah, it's kind of the Surrey, I guess, of...
Surrey by the Sea.
Yeah. And there was this guy who used to hang out in the A&W that was across the street. And, like, hang out... Like, he was the Matthew McConaughey in Dazed and Confused of our scene.
Okay, yep.
And his name was Seanathan.
No!
Isn't that horrifying?
That sounds like something you would say to someone when you're making fun of them. Like, yeah. Jonathan, settle down.
That was his real name.
He just took it and ran with it. Ugh. Oh my God.
Horrifying. Jonathan.
He could have just gone by Sean.
Right? Absolutely. Like, or Nathan. He had options.
Yeah.
No, gross.
Wow. Oh yeah, Nathan. You could get Nathan out of that. I've never thought about that before.
Did he try to, like, tag along with high schoolers to do stuff, or did he just hang?
I think it was, like, the funny thing is, he was, like, older, but I don't think he had his license. So it's not, like, because you know there would be the creepy older guy who's, like, he's got a car, so all these girls hang out with him.
Yeah.
This guy was just a handsome dum-dum with a horrible name who would hang out at A&W and smoke weed with people much younger than him.
You gotta love a handsome dum-dum, though.
Yeah. Do you?
Yes. Yeah. You don't have to love them, but you can.
Square jaw, blank stare, I'm into it. I love that. Like, you know,
you gotta love a dumb dumb.
You know who looks dumb, like, just facially, but there's...
Please tell me.
Novak Djokovic. The tennis player, like, not even dumb, but you know how certain people are, like...
I thought that this was a nickname you came up with for Casey Novak.
No, she'd be Novak Djokovic.
Novak Djokovic. Like, can you understand why I thought that's what you meant?
Absolutely.
Yes.
But, he's an example of someone who just, like, the lights are on, but it looks like no one's home.
Looking him up right now.
Big, tall, square-headed Serbian lad.
Nice. And also extremely athletic.
Also that, sure. Great at his sport.
I mean, so there's at least some good hand-eye coordination happening, so
yeah,
that's good. But yeah, one-track mind, that's fine.
Yeah.
He looks like that guy who makes that Overwatch game that Luna keeps posting pictures of.
Oh.
And she says, I'm outside of Todd's house yelling at him. I don't get that reference.
I think his name's Jeff Kaplan.
Oh, Jeff. Todd Howard, Jeff Kaplan?
I don't know.
Who knows? I'm surrounded by women who play video games and I don't do anything.
What video game? So, like, Sims and, like, that sort of thing?
I like Sims and Civilization 5.
Okay, Peter plays... What's this name? The game he plays? Something like Lords of something. And it's like... League of Legends? Maybe. Lol. Like, I have never been bitten by the video game bug, really, minus, like, PlayStation 1, I think. There was a game called Cool Borders 4 that was, like, a snowboarding video game. I feel like Edition 4 was, like, when it really reached its peak. But I feel like there's, like, no, like, Japanese genius that could beat me at this game. I played one game for, like, 2 years and was just unbelievably good at it and then just never played another video game again.
It's beautiful.
And I would get into it, but the ones that Peter plays look so fucking boring. It's just, like, wandering realms and picking up amulets and shit. I can't get into that for the life of me.
I played World of Warcraft for a while and, like, I kind of got into it. Like, the scenery was really pretty and I like that, but there's not really, like, a storyline so much. It's like a lot of it is, like, quest after quest after quest. So it's like, go collect me 5 rabbits from the forest, and then you bring it back and it's like, good, you have here's a gold piece.
Right.
Now go do this, and you're like, come on, and it's like just to level up.
Yeah.
And because it was like an online thing, everyone that I started playing with leveled up so much faster because they played it all the fucking time. And then so I was still like at a level 10 and they were at 40 or whatever. And so then you're just like, well, you can't play with us anymore, I guess. I'm like, okay, I'll just...
Rude.
Take my ball and go home.
Yeah, like I guess I'll just be
over here.
Take
my amulet and go home.
Yeah, I'll just be over here in the marketplace like whittling spears or something buddy. Like that. And and then, yeah, my boyfriend at the time was so fucking deadly into it that he would like... You know, hey, I've made dinner. He's like, well, I can't. I have a raid starting in, like, 5 minutes. So just, like, warm it up for me later. And it's just like,
oh, what a boner killer. God. Ugh. Yeah. Sorry, that's something that bothers me very much.
Oh, sorry, what specifically?
Oh, just, like, I got a... I hate to say live play. Like, live gameplay frustrates me so much because I'm like... Can we talk about this? No, not right now. I'm playing live. I'm like, oh, I'll kill the internet.
Yeah, no.
I'm gonna stab the Wi-Fi machine.
Yeah, I can't get into that at all. I have like a couple friends who have like full gaming chairs, so it's like computer gaming, not even like PS4 or whatever. And
that's
like,
so nerdy.
It's so nerdy.
It's all like red and black. And
it's a friend
like...
of mine who I play volleyball with, and he's like, he's super tall and he's super handsome and he's very athletic. But he's such a fucking uptight nerd. It's just such a great sort of contrast for him. A super uptight gay nerd who's really into video games. A GERD. You know what I hate? Like, gay dudes online who, like, use their nieces and nephews to, like, fuel their Instagram thirst and call themselves a gunkle. I fucking hate that. That's so gross. You're just an uncle.
This is new to me.
You've never heard this?
No.
Like the real depravity of, like, hashtagging... Like, if you ever want to see how disgusting people can get with hashtags, Instagram follow a gay person who recently lost some weight, specifically a gay man who recently lost some weight, because it's just like hashtag gay, hashtag insta gay, hashtag insta scruffy, hashtag gay beard, hashtag fitness journey, hashtag weight loss journey. I just want to murder all of them.
That's true. I do have a few friends that are bears that are just like, they have like insta bear cub, face. Insta cub, insta bear.
I'm going to do bear face right now. Enough.
Aw, so cute, though.
That's adorable.
Fucking God love them. They're very sweet, this is bare face. It's definitely...
Aw, shucks. I want to put my dick in your butt. Or vice versa, you
and
know,
then,
whatever.
And snuggle. It's good.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. That's, you can do the thing where you, like, put the hashtags, like, down lower.
Yeah, yeah,
which
sure.
Which is fine, you know.
But even then, like, the whole point of a hashtag is just so that other people who are having similar thoughts or statements can, like, find each other and view each other's stuff, I guess. But, like, I just can't imagine giving a fuck. Like, you know what I mean? I've never been like, I wonder what other scruffy gays are out there right now. And just, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Are you going to, like, make friends?
Isn't that what
that, like,
scruff is for?
Is that, like, millennial pen palling?
Isn't that literally like... just what scruff is for?
Exactly. Like, you have apps that are so easy for finding people that have similar interests as you. Mm-hmm. So, I just...
But, like, I've been hearing that Instagram is, like, even more used than Tinder because you just, like, find... Or it's, like, a secondary, like, dating app where it's, like... You put your Instagram on your Tinder profile so then people can see more about you and your perfectly curated day-to-day, whatever.
Yeah.
Just sounds exhausting.
Totally.
You know, says me who puts up a new bullet journal spread every week and hashtags
no,
and
that's
planner
great,
addict.
Though.
Show
a
your
weekly, like, that's respectable. The thing that I, you know, Instagram stories, obviously, mm-hmm. like, they're great for watching, but some people, it's like, there'll be literally 20 to 30 videos in their thread. I'm like, what the, like, every photo I take, I have to think about for at least 10 minutes before I release it. So I kind of either your quality control is shit or you do nothing but curate a story all day. That's crazy to me.
That's not.
Some people just actually do that as like a job, right?
Yeah.
That's lifestyle.
Just like my job
stuff.
Is I'm an Instagrammer. Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
Well, the intersection of like Instagram and bullet journal is like a weird and blogging, right? So people blog about their journal, Instagram about their journal, and that's their job. So they get like... kickbacks from fucking Michaels
right.
and other
yeah.
people that sell, you know, all those washi tape peddlers. Like,
influencers.
That's
and
what
so,
they're called.
And
oh,
so,
I know.
But,
gross.
But then their bullet journal is all like, oh, here's my schedule for the Instagram posts I'm going to do. So it's like, it's not even new content.
It's meta.
It's just literally
it is, yeah.
you taking pictures of the things that you're doing to promote the thing, which is like, there's no other substance to it.
Yeah, it's that weird sort of like snake swallowing its own tail or whatever. Just like, you're promoting yourself to promote products that promote yourself that promote products. It's all very...
It's all very terrifying,
it's,
quite
yeah.
honestly. Like, when you really step back and look at it.
And just exhausting.
Yes. Or those chains where it's like... there's some joke, I think, going around, or it was for a while, where it's, like, on your Facebook, it's, like, a video, like, hey, great to see you, I'm here on my Facebook, like, if you want to find out more, follow me on Twitter, and then you go to the Twitter, and it's, like, okay, great,
follow me
on
Instagram,
and then
yeah.
it's, like, do-do-do-do-do, and it eventually just brings you back to the same thing again.
And eventually,
like,
you're just in their house. You made me think of, like, follow a gay person who's just lost weight, and I was just, like, I've been going to the same hairstylist for, like, 5 years, I absolutely love him, but he is just, like, the uber fag, basically,
yeah.
like, he's so... aggressively,
girl.
Like, gorgeously gay.
Yeah.
And I just followed his hair account. I'm like, this is respectful. But then he followed my account on, like, on his personal, so, like, followed him back. And most of the time it's just like, I'm in Berlin. I'm in Amsterdam. Here's some hair. Here's me, like in my Speedo before going to the gym or whatever.
Right.
But he posted the best photo from Amsterdam. And I loved it so much. And I just wanted to comment... great dink, bro. Like, I really wanted to say that to him.
Let me see. So pointy.
Yeah, I was like, great dink, bro.
That
nice
is,
dink.
I like
yeah.
how you immediately get zoom.
Well, yeah, so obviously I'm zooming in on crotch. And,
nice dink, bro.
And his harness is perfectly set.
Oh, yeah. He's
oh,
glamorous
wow.
and perfect. This is
my
like,
mouth just watered a little bit.
If ever he heard me say these things, I would just be like, yeah, no, it's serious. You're very gorgeous. And I worship you from afar. And sometimes right under your face when you're cutting my hair, which is cool.
I always like, it's so weirdly intimate getting a haircut.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
I used to
oh, we share everything.
Well, yeah, like as far as like the stuff you divulge to your hairdresser,
yeah.
for sure, it is very therapeutic, but also just like
oh,
the actual
forth.
Physical closeness
mm-hmm.
and like, when I was younger, when I was in, like, high school, my friend's mom used to cut all of our hair. Like, we'd give her $10, and she'd give us... She was, you know, pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But she had these huge fake breasts. And she was, like, 4'11" or something. She was tiny. So I would have to sit on a footstool for her to cut my hair? And then she'd be, you know, leaned over, zooming in, and I'm just like, I'm looking so hard at my feet, and I'm like, how do any of my straight friends get through this? This is, like, aggressive. And, like, she's a attractive lady and you know, looked great, so I just, yeah. It's very intimate. And, like, if you go... I love nothing more than a scalp massage.
Oh, my God, yes.
Oh, my God,
like, if I had to choose between a blowjob or a scalp massage, I'd be like, how long is the scalp massage? You know, like, it would be a tough call for me. But that's also, like, it's a weird... Like, you know how you see, like, great white sharks come up to the side of a boat and they rub its nose and it rolls over? Like, I feel almost incapacitated when I get a scalp massage.
Oh, yeah.
And then all of a sudden I'll just sort of realize I've been zoning out and I'm like, I wasn't, like, moaning or breathing weird, was I? You know? So as soon as it's over, I'm like, oh, I hope I wasn't weird just
did now. I let a fart go or something? Did,
like that dog thing when you scratch that one part of their tummy.
Yeah, I get a bit of a scalp massage as part of getting shampooed, and sometimes I'll just purr a little bit, like just like a kind of, and he's like I was like, oh, sorry, is that gross? He's like, no, people are really gross sometimes. Some people just go like, ugh. And it's like, and I don't like that. You're fine.
Yeah, totally. As long as it's tasteful moaning.
It's tasteful platonic moaning.
Yeah, totally.
Just like,
I've switched hairstylists before because one gave a better
scalp massage than,
like,
the other?
They she didn't cut my hair quite the way that I liked it, but she gave a way better scalp massage.
That's awesome.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and like a long one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't just like buy that, it feels like, most places. Like, it only comes
with adjacent, if the person really likes it. Like, the, you know, this one stylist who now I like go to, and it turns out she's actually like a bob expert, and so I've been going to her more regularly because once I changed up the style, then she was totally great. So now she's really good at the cut and the scalp massage. So perfect. I feel like I'm winning on every level.
Yeah, you clearly made the right choice.
But she's very much like kind of a hippie vegan person. It's just like, I just love to be therapeutic to my clients. I'm like, thank you. I'll take it all.
Yes, absolutely.
Take it all.
And she just, really long scalp massage. She's like, wow, your face is so tense. So she was massaging down my face too. Like,
yeah.
Oh, so good.
We're all just big sucks that like to be touched, turns out.
It's true. It's true. Just who doesn't like a good scratch and rub?
Just big dumb kitties, basically.
Pretty much. Peter works for, like, he's an occupational therapist, so he works in
healthcare. Oh, that's awesome.
And he has really, really good healthcare, like, benefits. Mm-hmm. And so last year, like, it doesn't make any sense. So usually when you have a benefit, it pays up to a certain amount, whatever percentage, and then you're on your own.
Yep.
Whereas for, like, massage or acupuncture or whatever, for the first $1,000 between the two of us, it pays 80%.
Okay.
And after $1,000, it pays 100%.
Yes.
Wow.
So if we get biweekly massages after, like, 3 months or less than that, like, 2 months, it's free for the rest of the year. So at the end of the year, I just went ham. And as of October, I booked my massage therapist every Friday afternoon until the end of the year.
Oh, what a good way to, like, see yourself out of the year.
And it's just awesome. Like, it's just the best.
I'm making the face.
I know. I know. It's not fair. But
can I marry Peter?
So yeah, that's what I'm going to do again this year, because there's just nothing better every once in a while, especially if you are pretty active. Like, and I just like, I'm getting older, and we're all getting older, but
that's true.
Certain things, like I had to get orthotics a couple of years ago because of lower back pain, and I keep pulling my trapezius muscles, which like connect your skull to your back.
Oh yeah.
And so the last two times it's happened, it's because I came standing up.
You didn't have enough slack in your
shoulders. No, you know, I just, like, my form was off, so I was like, oh, ow! Like, it was just so awful.
That's happened to me before. Yeah, standing up, but I have thrown out my back from
Have sex standing up, but if
I've
like,
done that too.
If I'm close, I'm going to be like, okay, hold on, and just hit the floor on my back.
Like, death drop.
Yes.
Safety first, guys.
Just do like a full-on drag queen death drop just like high jizz kick into the air.
I did my first death drop ever in the summertime, but onto an air mattress that was on top of a lake so that I couldn't really injure myself too much, and it still hurt a little.
Yeah.
Death dropping is no joke.
It's no fucking joke. The people who can do it, like, just at a moment's notice are usually under 25.
Yeah, and, like, under 100 pounds, too.
That's the, one of the goals in my notebook is to do one full human push-up at the end of this year, because here's the thing, I am built like an industrial pear. Like, I have such a huge, muscly ass that it weighs a ton. And so, like, my center of gravity is incredibly low. Whereas most, like, you have most of your mass, like, a belly button and above.
I'm 80% leg.
You do have a good leg.
No, I'm just like, but yeah, I've an unreasonably high center of gravity.
Yes. And that's why I have, so, but I watched this woman who, it was in the gym yesterday, and she... I just realized that she was built like Chris Evans almost. She was like super short, but she just had this really muscular upper body and like quite a bit of a smaller lower body. Like she had little legs and a little butt, but she had like these big beefy arms, chest and back. And I was like, you can do like 20 regular, like from the toes push-ups. And my goal is one this year.
Yeah. You'll get there though.
Yeah, I'll get there.
You can absolutely do it.
I mean, I can do them from my knees, but yeah, I've got one full real push-up, deadlift 80 kilograms, bench 50 kilograms.
80 kilograms is like 175 pounds?
No, it's way more than that. I think, oh no, and maybe you're right.
Closer to two maybe? I
think it's 180, but I might be wrong. No, you're right. Who cares?
That's ambitious.
Yeah, I can already do 60, so...
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, I've been lifting weights for a long time.
Oh, okay.
And I like it very much, but I you were absolutely right. You're 176 pounds.
All
right. Smart boy.
Yeah, just a math genius over here.
Just basically a genius.
Add another to the long list of, like, amazing traits we have going.
I'm glad you're capturing how humble I am on this podcast.
Absolutely. No, this is, we just invite people over here to butter their bread a little bit.
Yeah,
it's all good.
Yeah, we don't want to not stroke your ego.
Good, basically. But thank you.
The whole point is that you should feel like a superstar.
Oh, you guys.
You guys.
I like, you're like, oh, I want to lift all these weights. I'm like, this year I'm going to do some yoga. there's a place that does like a ballet bar yoga class.
Ooh, yep. Those are intense.
They're ass kickers. My sister goes to Bar Method and brought me on a guest pass once. I was the only dude in the room. And cause it's super like booty focused but it's like, yeah, it was really, really difficult, but you really feel like you earned it by the end of the class for sure. And there are lots of people around the class who have to sit certain stuff out for a few moments. So give it a shot. I highly recommend
it. Okay. Yeah. I was just like, oh, it'll be like pretty ballet. And then I was like, oh wait, yeah. Ballerinas train like crazy.
Oh yeah. And it's just so much like squatting and lunging.
I'm good at squats.
Oh yeah. Me too. Big butt. Good squat. I forget you have those meaty beef legs.
I could have modeled pantyhose until I was about 20 years old. I had perfect women's legs. It was so embarrassing because I was still this chubby red-faced kid. I was like, I was Tina Turner from the waist down, Andy Richter from the waist up. Just like so awful. And then somewhere in my early 20s, it just, like, from lugging around the big torso, they just kind of thickened, and now I have fucking speed skater legs out of nowhere, but,
nice.
You know, I love them. I love them, you know, you gotta love your body.
Do you?
Well, shit. You gotta try,
you gotta
damn it.
Try?
Fine. I'll try to like it.
Yeah. So yeah, I like you were saying, one push-up, I want to do one chin-up.
I want to do one cock push-up.
One cock push-up.
One's all you need.
Is that tenacious-y?
Yes, it
is. Yeah.
It's like old mimetics there. Do they still exist? I guess they do.
Tenacious?
The D?
I don't know. I haven't heard much from them at all. Last I saw, Jack Black was in the R.L. Stine Goosebumps movie.
A lot of people have mentioned that to me for some reason. Was it? Oh yeah, your line to our good buddy Noelle.
Yeah, she's designing a poster because R.L. Stine is going to come to the Orpheum or something and do a reading.
Oh.
Yeah, and so she was like, "What do I do with this poster? I'm not feeling very inspired." I'm like, "Green slime, my dude."
Yeah.
Like that's all you gotta
do. That
was
the funniest fucking thing to me in the whole world when you sent me that message. It's just like, "Green slime, my dude." She's like, "Oh, how could I have been so stupid? Thank God I have your consultancy on call."
Yeah, I'm always happy to be a graphic design consultant when it's that easy.
She was doing one for the Jordan Peterson versus Sam, not Sam Smith, that's a singer. Sam Elliott is an actor. Sam, whatever, Harris, he's like a atheist speaker or something like that. They're having a debate. And they're both just like...
Is Jordan Peterson the evil guy from Toronto?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, so I don't particularly like either of them. So she's like, what should I do for this? I was like, I don't know, put a penis in there somewhere. She's like, we'll see. Probably
like
not.
Disney style or whatever, just like suddenly.
Yeah, I was just like a hidden ding-dong. She's like, oh, you know, that's a lot to ask, but...
Yeah. I think like there... When it comes to, like, atheist speakers, I do understand, I mean, I more agree with them, but the smugness of it all is, like, even Neil deGrasse Tyson. Also, how come no...
Oh, my God.
You'll find no problem, no quarrel with us on this
and
point.
And how come nobody talks about his sexual assault allegations that happened against him? Yeah, yeah. A few months ago, someone said that years back when he was, like, her professor... I can't remember the exact details of it, but like,
I mean, unsurprising.
Nobody's saying shit about that. I guess he's, you know, less famous or less juicy than certain other celebrities, mm-hmm. but it happened and I haven't heard anything about it since.
That sucks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I heard plenty, like when, I want to say like 6 or 7 years ago, Bill Nye got married to somebody and then immediately got divorced and then she like tried to trash his house and burn it down or something
Whoa.
Like that. And that was all over the news and nobody said anything about him other than that he was kind of like a bad husband or a bad boyfriend or whatever. Not like abusive, just like bad at it.
Right.
And it was all over like, oh my God, he's so like not as cool as we think he is or something like that. But, you know, nobody said he molested anyone. So,
right. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
God, that sucks.
There's definitely, you know... Because it's hard with all of the things that are being revealed about yeah. people. There are...
Aziz.
Yeah. Aziz Ansari?
Oh, last night, man. It came out last night.
What happened?
Is this all new? Oh, real time.
This is why he never said anything about Louis?
Well, they were represented by the same guy.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Same manager.
Dave Becky or something?
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody came out and didn't accuse him of sexual assault necessarily, but she, like, had a date and hooked up with him.
She just said it was the worst experience she's ever had with a guy because he just, like... She kind of zoned out and wasn't really liking it.
She, like, dissociated
it.
During the encounter, and he was, like, angrily fingering her and stuff like that. It was just really, like...
Whoa.
Yeah. Like, him
but
not...
But so she said that it wasn't, like... She said that she just kind of, like, tuned out?
Yeah. It was, like, she's, like, this is not... The thing coming out about it is, like, people are like, oh, this isn't assault. And she's like, I'm not trying to say it's assault. I'm saying that there is a real problem with men not paying attention to women and not, like, checking in or anything
right.
during sex and stuff like that. So you don't have to, like, throw him out of your entire life, I don't think. But,
right.
but definitely keep your ear to the ground for other things coming out about this. Because, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. Because the first time I ever heard anything about John Gomeshi was like, oh, I had a bad date with him.
Mm-hmm. I heard about him years before.
Yeah, on
XO well.
Jane, there was somebody who was
yeah.
like this Canadian
blind
media.
Item,
yeah, yeah, it was a blind item. And
right.
I was like, that's John Gomeshi.
My my sister worked during the Olympics. She worked for CBC or like interned for them, I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
And there were stories even then like of like him going on a date with someone and then asking her while they were making out if he could punch her in the face
yeah.
or something. And it, like, it seemed super weird. And then 2-3 years later, the whole Gomeshi thing happened. So...
What a thing to ask somebody. I mean,
but I
at
mean,
least he asked.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, ask and then if the person says no, then you don't do it. That's all good.
Right. And I don't know, maybe for some people it adds to the thrill to have it be sort of unsuspecting or less likely candidates.
Don't
but
care.
It's like, there's FetLife out there.
Yeah.
There's, you know what I mean? Adult Friend Finder. There are all of these ways that you could find someone who's into the same
mm-hmm.
seemingly mean or violent stuff you are. Because, you know, there's all types out there.
Of course.
It
yeah.
takes all kinds.
Find
the right person for you. Don't spring it on someone who's not interested
yeah,
in that
you know?
Kind of thing.
And if somebody's like, when
that's
you ask them
no.
something, that's a no.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and I've definitely had experiences in my life where people were just like, okay, this isn't a no, so let's just proceed at pace.
Right.
Like,
I don't know. I think we also all know what it's like to be, like, the hornier person in a situation
mm-hmm.
and
yep.
to sort of, like... try. It's a,
oh, yeah.
The line between coercion and persuasion is...
Oh, yeah.
Great, but yeah.
Oh, 100%.
So
it's so complex.
That's I would love for there to be some sort of like, PSA is the wrong word, but
mm-hmm.
as far as like, the term enthusiastic consent is like, I would just, I don't know. I think one of the, hopefully the things that can change from the whole Me Too movement and all of the, you know, allegations and cases that have come out is that it can change curriculum for sex ed for younger people, because
mm-hmm.
that's who really, you know, it,
mm-hmm.
it's the most important. And
yeah.
and I hope that, you know, because when I was in high school, the curriculum for sex ed was about contraception and prophylactics, and you have to, you know about different diseases,
mm-hmm.
a little bit of scare porn, whatever works. But consent was never something that was ever discussed at all.
No.
And so, I mean, it's been a long time since I've been in high school, mind you, but I really hope that that's something that... can be implemented in at least more progressive areas. I know, you know, in certain places, sex ed is non-existent, but
yeah.
here it is, and I hope that that part of whatever sex ed curriculum exists
mm-hmm.
is expanded.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's a worthwhile conversation to kind of just always sort of be having on the outskirts of everything that's going on. I think even as a super young person getting sex ed and like having sex for the first time, that was all a really positive experience for me because, like, I don't know, I was safe in my little suburban area. I liked my first boyfriend very much, and I had really good sex ed, actually. Like, Planned Parenthood came to the school and, like, oh, wow. gave a big talk.
Where
and
did
was
you
like,
grow up, if you don't mind me asking?
North Delta. Oh,
okay.
So, and I graduated in 2003. Okay. So, not, I mean, that's, yeah, 15 years ago. So, a while. So, yeah, it just goes. And so, like, that was all really positive. I only started having really negative experiences into my 20s, like, when my self-esteem had already taken quite a beating, like, from men. So, yeah, so I think, like, if that had been something that I had kept talking about into my 20s, as opposed to just, like, being, I've done that education and I'm finished and nothing bad can happen to me now because I'm a strong, empowered woman.
Right.
But since I stopped talking about it, I was just like, well, I guess this is my fault if something bad happened, right?
Yeah, and I guess that's another reason why sex ed is so important, because, mm-hmm. you know, you have that brief window of it, however many times it gets taught in school, and then, you know, once you're in the real world, it's not as if you turn 18 and suddenly know what the fuck you're doing. and there's no sex ed continuation in higher education unless mm-hmm. you're taking whatever, you know, specific courses on it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, if you really can't overstate the importance of it in high school. People really need that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hell yeah. Good thesis and argument.
I guess no one's really arguing with it. Well, yeah. Maybe in the South.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah.
You got me thinking, too, about just, like, context, too, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's, like, the persuasion, coercion, like, over time, I think, you know, you've been in a long-term relationship with someone for a long time. You kind of know when they're in or out, or, like, right. maybe, like, you want to... You're in a relationship, you want to have regular sex, like, maybe someone's not totally feeling it right away, but then they get into it or right. something. Like, those are fine.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's not enthusiastic consent.
No, that's
consent.
True,
so,
yeah.
So I've heard some Mindful. Folks being like, enthusiastic consent, like, doesn't work for me because I'm, you know, I've been in a relationship for 20 years, so it's not enthusiastic, but we do it anyway, and I'm just like, yeah, but you have time. So over time, those things are different.
Right.
Because you already have a long basis of trust or whatever.
Right.
You have, you know, the analogy of the trust bucket. You've got lots and lots of pebbles in there. It's pretty full.
Sure.
Like, you don't need to. But I think, like, when you're first hooking up with someone, I think it's fine to err on the side of caution until you really get to know that person
right.
before you can start checking out, like, before you can start, like, skipping
some of
those.
Before you start ad-libbing
right.
and
yeah,
and
you have to have a
improv-ing.
Certain comfort level before you can wake up with someone inside you and not be upset about it.
Yeah.
Right.
And so, like, yeah, people are like, oh, well, can't, where's the romance, blah, blah, blah. It's like, you just met that person. Like, A, you don't have to hook up immediately when you meet that person. I have done that many times,
sure.
obviously.
No judgment, hey.
But you can't, you
it's
could.
It's a whole friendly podcast.
Yeah, but, you know, you could take their number and meet them another time when you're not totally smashed so that you can figure out, like, if you guys really like each other or not, or,
mm-hmm.
or even whatever. There's so many different ways that, like, you can just, like, check in with people when you're first getting to know someone.
Totally.
Because, like, on the, like, you know, how do you know that someone's not going to, like, rob your house? Like,
seriously.
You know,
it's
like,
true.
There's lots of things that maybe you shouldn't get so vulnerable with a stranger right away.
Yeah.
That sounded judgy, but do you know what
no,
I mean?
No,
like,
no,
just
but
just
it,
about,
it's about
like,
personal safety.
Yeah.
It's not about, it's, yeah, I've, mm-hmm. you know, with apps like Grindr and Scruff, there are often people who, you know, what's up, can you host? And mm-hmm. that's it. And I'm not saying I've never had a stranger over to my house, but every time I did, I was like, I felt shitty about it afterwards, not for the, like, slutty connotations, because whatever, I'm grown mm-hmm. and we're safe, but, yeah, I let a stranger into my house at 3 a.m. when I was intoxicated. That's mm-hmm. not a super safe thing to do, mm-hmm. even for a big, brawny lad like myself.
Mm-hmm. But then even just as you're, like, hooking up with somebody, like, you don't know that person, so how do you know what they like without
mm-hmm.
checking in? So these people that are like, oh, well, I'm just going to be spontaneous and I'm just going to do all this romantic stuff and not check in and not necessarily get explicit consent. Like, how is that good for anybody? It just doesn't sound fun or, like, good sex.
Right.
It's hard, though.
Do you know what I mean?
It's so hard.
At the same time, I know a lot of like, straight girls specifically who will talk about, like, oh, I hate it when a guy's like, oh, is this okay? It's like, just fucking grab my ass, you know?
Oh,
so there
yeah.
is...
I'm totally, yeah.
There is a
yeah.
line of, like, you do want it to feel spontaneous and also feel lusted after. You don't want it to feel so clinical. But, yeah, that's why it's, like, finding that line is
mm-hmm.
the important thing and the
yeah.
most
There's a way
thing,
to be
I
fucking
think.
Flirty and talk about what you want.
Yeah.
yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's actually pretty fun if you can hit the right tone.
For sure.
I guess, like, everyone's... You know.
Everyone's
Everyone's
boundaries
different.
Are different. Yep.
Everybody feels different.
I think I would rather, you know, if I was like dating a girl, I would rather her be like, oh, you were kind of boring at first.
Right.
Than, oh, you totally crossed my boundaries at first. Like, don't you want to err on the side of like a little bit?
Right. Well, and I think like, I'm not sure if it still exists, but I know that like you hear like, when a man, I think when a guy goes to bed with someone for the first time, he wants to, like, wow and amaze and, like, put it down and break it in half and all that. Whereas, like, women are, I think, by and large, still, like, you don't want to reveal too much too soon because then you seem too well-versed or in practice. And for some reason, that's a bad thing. Like, you never give your best head the first time you go down on someone. That's fucking insane to me.
I'm like, I'm looking at you.
gay men do not feel that way at all. It's a contest, essentially, every time. So, but I have heard people say that. Like, oh, never let them know you're a freak the first time you go to bed with them. That's, I mean, I don't know. Not my style.
Yeah, not my style.
I think for me, I do resonate, that resonates a bit for me just because, like, I'm terrified of being called too much by someone, whether that's about sex or, like, even romance or something like that. Like, if I seem too enthusiastic, period, I worry about that turning people off because I've heard people say, like, oh, that Katie, she's a bit much.
It's the sort of common vernacular right now. You hear people say, like, oh, she's a lot. She's so extra.
Yeah. And I feel like that's been said about me a lot. There was the first time I ever met my ex-boyfriend's mom. Shout out to Lorraine.
What up, Lorraine?
Hope you're painting something cool today. To be fair, I was being very extra, but I was just so nervous. Mm-hmm. And then she told him after the fact, like, she's nice. She's a little much.
Aww.
And I'm like, that's a horrible thing to say.
Lorraine sounds like a waspy cunt.
She's all right. She got bipolar or something like that. Or whatever, something like that. So right. I just let people get away with being mean to me if they have a mental illness.
That's a very real thing that you just
said. That's very revelatory. Yeah. Just a bit. Speaking of people saying unkind things to me, I have a item from this week that was really funny. Napping yesterday at the gym. And a trainer, his name is James. I'll just, like, put him on blast right now. He's 24. He's a super sweetie. I really like him. He said to me yesterday, I checked out your podcast. I was like, oh, why did you do that? That was very stupid of you. He's like, yeah, I had to turn it off after, like, 2 minutes. Like, why are you telling me this?
Oh my God.
So rude.
And then he was like, yeah, and then I looked you up on another podcast, and I had to turn that one off after 2 minutes. I was like, you do not have to tell me any of this. And then I'm laughing so hard because I'm like, this is so inappropriate. like, you goober. And then he's like, yeah, I guess maybe it's just not my thing. I was like, okay, do you want me to go out and buy you a shovel?
Yeah.
So you can keep digging this fucking hole, dude.
How's your foot taste, you piece of shit?
Yeah. It was just so funny. I'm like, dude, I know. I tell people specifically to not look this up. Partially because I think that actually makes them do it more.
Mm.
Yes.
And then when they do, I can say, I told you not to.
Yeah.
Ergo, you cannot tell me that it was an unpleasant experience for you.
That's such a weird thing. Like, I've had people be like, yeah, I wanted to come to your show, but I just can't stand to watch people on stage. That I get. But to be like, oh, I went to your show and I left after 2 minutes. I'd be like, fuck you. Why would you tell me that?
Yeah,
that's what my mom said about going to comedy. She's like, I just can't stand to see anyone struggle. I was like, that doesn't really demonstrate confidence in my ability.
Aww.
But it's fine. She's seen me and she was like, okay, I can come watch you again because I know you're not bad now.
She had to give you some time to, like, work out the kinks before.
Yeah, now at almost 3 years, I think my parents can stand to watch me do stand-up, which is, you know, fingers crossed.
Yeah. My mom was on this podcast, and she's like, oh, and I've listened to other episodes. So now, as we're doing this one, I'm just like, oh, mom, don't listen to this one.
Mom, don't listen.
It's fine.
I started creating a bit list in the back of my bullet journal so I can keep track of all of my jokes. And then I made a joke legend and discovered that too many of my jokes are vagina-based.
When I write a set list, I'm always like, how are you still just writing dick jokes? You know, like, I'm so peen-focused all the time. And, like, in Katie's joke legend, the symbol for dirty joke is a crudely drawn dick and balls.
I can draw them much better. I just thought it should be a little icon, like an emoji. Like,
I never realized how many dick jokes I have until there was one gig I did at XY on Davie Street. And
they were like, too many dick jokes.
Well, no, it was an audience of like 70% lesbians. And, like, yeah, I never realized how much I talk about dicks until I was talking about dicks to an audience that wants to talk about anything but dicks, you know? So it was, that was a wake-up call for sure.
You've just been diversify.
Like, of course, yeah. I'm talking about ones that you wear in your harness. Am I right, ladies?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you can choose any size you like. It's great. No men in the. It's good times. Go, cool. Okay, bye.
Scissoring, right? Anyways, have a good night.
They'll be like, we don't actually do that. It's like, well, you should. It looks cool.
Yeah, and it just sounds fun. Actually, Peter and I, for the longest time,
we scissor.
You know, no, we had this one couch. We now have an L-shaped one, so we can, because he's 6'5", I'm 6'2", we're both large people. And so we used to have just this one straight up couch that was probably 7 feet long, and so we would have to scissor so that both of us could lay down.
That's really cute.
It was cute. We like, nah, he doesn't have stinky feet, so I didn't mind.
You see, I was tweeting about this earlier in the week where, because I read something somebody had written about Simon Pegg and Nick Frost.
Okay.
The guys from the Shaun of the Dead and
Hot Fuzz. So Nick Frost is the chubby guy?
Yeah. So then they're like best friends, yeah. And they used to live together. And they lived together so closely that they had to share a bed. And to start with, for the first like month, they would sleep head to foot. Yeah. And eventually they're like, this is dumb. And they just started cuddling. And then it was like after about 4 months of this, we would wake up and not know where one of us began and the other ended. Like, it was just such a comfortable, lovely thing. And so like before one of them got married, because I guess his wife to be was uncomfortable with them having this level of like physical intimacy, they're like, okay, we have one last time to sleep together.
Oh, that's the sweetest thing.
But then the two of them divorce, so then they can, you know, snuggle up together again if they want.
Yeah, you gotta be comfortable with your friends, like.
So I think I tweeted something about how like, bros, I don't understand the whole like head to foot thing. Like, obviously the genitals still line up, which is a Seinfeld bit, but I'm also just like, there are no gay porns that start with like cuddling compared to how many there are that start with huffing athletic socks.
Yeah, sure.
Like, that is a genre. That's a whole genre. You don't have, like, snuggle to fuck or something like that. That's not really something that...
Which I feel says a lot about us as a people. Like, I would love to see some snuggle to fuck porn. I think that would be wonderful.
It'd be loving and sweet, but it's not, like, a category that you search for, whereas, like, twink sniffs daddy bear's dirty socks.
I'll keep you up and up on the current trends in gay porn.
Please! This is what we brought you here for.
There's a lot of like family porn of like daddy fucks little twink
stepbrothers touch dicks.
Yeah, I just like I
it's
don't,
in straight porn too.
Yeah, I guess yeah.
Step,
the whole
stepmom,
step
like,
siblings, step parents. Yeah. That whole like we're not quite related.
And there's also like there's this because when you're on a porn site and there's like sort of teasers on the outside or like previews, you know, on the one side there's this.
No,
new
I
one.
Don't know how.
No,
it works.
You've never
I've
been
never
to a porn
it.
Site. Yeah. There's this site now that's called Bromo, and it's clearly meant to be gay Brazzers.
Oh, okay.
So Brazzers, which is of course the really like jackhammery, aggressive finger fuckery, dick slappy, like she's always crying a little. And now I just like, I don't want that kind of like sexual violence to bleed over into gay porn. And I know that some of it already exists, but never in this like glossy and clearly like meant to be commercial of format.
Like
and
with
I
the
hate that.
Fluorescent lighting.
Yeah, just like really shiny.
Beeping,
and just like, yeah, the top always has an angry face and the bottom always has an in pain face. And I just like, I don't know.
There's no variety.
There's
no variety. What's the deal?
What's the deal with gay porn? Yeah, I don't know.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, fuck. I am completely on the side just doing that Jerry Seinfeld voice basically made me think. I started watching this Somebody Please Feed. I can't remember the name of the guy, but it's a new Netflix show where just the guy is traveling around the world. It's like, please feed me. And it's very, like, inoffensive. And I was watching this. I was like, God, this guy reminds me so much of Ray Romano. Like, I'm just getting such hardcore Ray Romano vibes. And then I, like, click out of it. And it's like, the creator of Everybody Loves Raymond is on a food quest or something like that. I was like, that's why he sounds like Ray Romano.
So he's like Ray Romano's Larry David?
Yeah. He does gay porn. No, I'm just kidding. I was just like, trying to segue that better in retrospect. It just made me think of it like, what's the deal with my Tom Tuka or whatever? Like, he's eating in Bangkok. It looked really good.
What's Tom Tuka?
So speaking of porn, Bangkok.
There it is.
There you go. Yeah, you
full
made it
circle.
Work.
Nailed it.
That's my favorite genre. It's just
bang.
Bang.
Just, I'm not
just
even
ring it like the Liberty
stuff.
Bell.
But yeah, dick punching, that's my jam.
Ball busting.
Oh my God. I could think the like cuddle to fuck porn would totally be like one of those rooms where it's like the apartment with just the glass windows, right?
Yeah.
And it's like the sun is just rising, so it's that early dawn light and early white sheets.
Sure.
And they're like cuddled up and you just see the their feet like sticking out from under the covers first, and then they like,
I love it.
I think that'd be really cute.
There's a YouTuber named Davey Wavy.
Okay.
Who makes like a lot of his videos are like, oh, a straight guy and a gay guy compare penises. Like they're just like, they're not super interesting or funny. And he's always shirtless, and he clearly like does chest day 4 days a week. And I've never been a big fan, but he's starting his own website that's outside of YouTube that's more about like gay erotica and sort of videos about certain things. And while I've like never really been into his stuff, I'm like, this is a fucking great idea. Because mm-hmm. even straight people, a lot of them learn about sex through porn, which is not a great way to go about it. But at least like in movies, there are, you know, scenes of lovemaking, and it's, you know what I mean? It's not just that.
And
like,
it's in context.
Gay men of my generation, the only gay sex you ever saw on TV was rape on Oz.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was it. The HBO prison drama, or you had porn. So this idea of, you know, making videos that are more about, like, it sounds so fucking corny to say, but, like, eroticism or sensuality or whatever. I guess you
don't know us that well just yet.
The word sensuality has always made me uncomfortable, or sensual. But anyways, I'm intrigued to see
what he puts
out. Imagine
not a guy with a ponytail saying it. You know, that's the important thing, is it can't be Drill from Kids in the Hall saying sensual.
Yeah,
and then
or
you'll
like,
be fine.
As a yoga instructor, adjust your form, you says the word, I just collapse.
Oh, God. You just said adjust your form and did this very gentle hand movement, and then
like ball cupping. I'm sorry.
I felt like my vagal nerve seize up. I was just like, oh. It's just a bad feeling in the body. Like, I'm just going to gently adjust you. Like, don't.
They put their hand on the small of your back and they clearly don't realize how sweaty you are, and they sort of
recoil, but they can't. I swear to God, I have like a patch of peach fuzz. It just retains the moisture.
Have you ever taken like hot yoga classes?
Never, because I like myself.
Oh my God, I got a hot yoga membership, like a 1 month trial membership for Christmas a few years ago, because I had asked for it. And it was at Y Yoga, which has hot classes, but they're 60 minute. They're not 90 like Bikram.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the first one I went to, all of these people are lining up like 20 minutes before the class starts. And so we get in, and it's so they can get spots directly against the mirror because they want to watch their form. Sure, whatever. And so I was in the back of the room, and I was so sweaty within 20 minutes of it that the whole time all I could think about was like, oh, fuck, my puddle's going to touch the mats beside me. Because it was January, so it was super busy. So then for the rest of the month that I was going, I would line up with all of the keeners, but then they would go to the front of the class, and I would go to this one spot in the back because it had a wall on one side and a pillar on the other. So I had a guaranteed 8 inches on that one side to make sure that my puddle would not contact other people's equipment or persons. So yeah, hot yoga, not for me.
Well, this place nearby is that it's hot yoga, but it's with an infrared sauna, so it's not as like wet hot the way some of them are. So I'm curious to try it and see what it is.
I did
Bikrams, and like they had you do like, you know, where you grab your ankle and then you try to do a balance, and I was so sweaty that my legs kept slipping out of my hands.
Yep.
Like, so then you have to wear like all the way to the floor pants, but then it's so hot.
So hot. I see people at my gym on the treadmill wearing like a hoodie, sweatpants, and a hat. And I'm like, are you trying to drop weight for a fucking fight? What are you, like, I can't imagine. I gotta go. I look like I'm playing Aussie rules football anytime I'm at the gym. Because like, sleeves too hot, pants too hot. It's gotta be like,
yeah, you're wearing the full bogan.
I don't understand that game for the life of me, but I don't need to, because all the players are so fucking fine.
Australian and New Zealand men playing rugby or Aussie rules football or just swimming or doing anything.
Absolutely. Doing anything. Sign me up.
Like, I like the big beef ones that play rugby and stuff, but I also like the little ones like Taika Waititi. Just like, give me the Antipodean hotties, please. But don't talk too much, because most of them are really dumb.
Yeah.
Not Taika, obviously.
There you go. There's your hot dummies.
Yeah, hot dummies, Australian athletes. Oh, they're so hot and so dumb.
So hot, so dumb.
God bless them.
God bless them, absolutely.
$900 Tobias! Have you been using Grindr on data?
Amazing.
So good.
Oh, man. Well, that was really awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us,
Thank
Steve.
You for having me. This was a blast.
Yes.
Plug your show again, please.
So every Tuesday night at the Junction Pub on Davie Street, it's called Magic Mike Open Mic Night. Pros, newbies, musical acts, drag, whatever is all welcome. The sign-up is always at 7:30, and the show starts at 8, and we're there till 11 p.m. I co-run it with the amazing Ollie Mon.
Mm-hmm.
Who
we also
have
the show.
Yes.
You should. She's a blast.
Do you have any other shows? Because this is coming out this Tuesday. Do you have any other shows?
This coming Tuesday.
Performing?
Okay. So I am on Wednesday, I will be at the Comedy Mix. And on Saturday, I'm going to be on the Dirty Betty show.
Ooh, I did Claire. That last month. Yeah, it was lots of fun.
Apparently, I'm the first male-identifying performer they've ever had on the show. Ooh, so congrats. I'm pretty excited You'll be about great. That. Yeah, so I'm really looking
You'll
forward to
that. You'll crush on that show, I promise. It's just a bunch of really horny people.
Yes, sign me up. So really looking forward to that. That's where I'll be this week.
Nice. Fantastic. And if people want to follow you on any social media hashtag. Yeah,
right. See all my disgusting hashtags as I lose weight.
Hashtag hot ass gunkle.
Hashtag scruffy gay. Hashtag insta gay. Hashtag Vancouver gay. No!
Hashtag, stop. Hashtag very bright pink in the face. Right. Hashtag yeah. pretty sweaty.
Hashtag not blushing, just look like this. Yeah. So on Instagram or Twitter, it's at Steve Letts, STEEVLETTS. And yeah, that's about it. I don't Snapchat.
Sure
I'm
don't.
Too old for that shit.
Yeah, no, I gave up Snapchat.
Where do you send your
ago.
Dick pictures?
Just to myself.
Okay.
Just to my email inbox at work.
This is just for posterity in the future when it doesn't work so good.
I've got a few spots I'm monitoring, so just...
Is it like you have a Gorbachev dick? Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this
tear
ass!
Tear down this ass!
Have a great week, everybody.
Yeah, have a wonderful week.